But we'll be in Jonah chapter number 3 today. Jonah chapter number 3. If you've grown up in church or if you've been in church any amount of time, no doubt in my mind that you've heard the account of Jonah. Jonah, of course, was a prophet of God that was given a clear command by God to go forth and preach unto the Ninevites. As we know the account, he went the wrong direction. If we look at a map, he went the exact opposite direction that he was supposed to go. And perhaps if you look over Jonah, you think that the book of Jonah is about Jonah. Jonah, after all, is mentioned almost 20 times in the book that bears his name. But the book of Jonah, I submit this morning, is not a book about Jonah. Perhaps as you read through the book of Jonah, you'll look and you'll see this city called Nineveh. And as you read through Jonah, you think, well, maybe if the book's not about Jonah, perhaps it could be about this great city, Nineveh. Nineveh is mentioned about 8 times here in the book of Jonah. But I say this morning, the book of Jonah is not about Jonah, and the book of Jonah is not about Nineveh. Maybe you keep reading, okay, if it's not about Jonah and if it's not about Nineveh, maybe it's about the great fish that the Bible talks about here in Jonah. The great fish is mentioned 4 times, and maybe if it's not about Jonah, it's not about Nineveh, maybe it's about the great fish, but it's not about the great fish. I want to draw your attention to chapter 3 and verse number 1 where the Bible says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh and cry that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." I say this morning that the book of Jonah is a book about the character of God. As you read through the book of Jonah, you find that the name of the Lord is found 38 times. The book of Jonah is about God and His mercy. The book of Jonah is about the God of the second chance. Aren't you glad today that you serve a God that gives us more than one chance? I want you to underline in your Bible there, chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Aren't you glad today that we serve a God that gives us another chance? The Bible says that His mercy is high above the heavens. The Bible says He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. I find here in my Bible that it's not just a book about Jonah. It's not just a book about Nineveh. It's not just a book about a great fish, but it is about the character of God. God was giving Jonah a second chance to give Nineveh a second chance. And so today, as Christians, sometimes we get our feet dirty walking in this world. We mess up, we trip up, we make decisions that don't please God. But I want you to know today that our God gives another chance to get it right. Our God gives us multiple chances. He's merciful. He's gracious. He is the God of the second chance. So for the next few moments this morning, I hope you'll listen. Don't turn off the familiarity of this account. But I hope you'll listen to this account as we preach on the subject, the God of the second chance. Let's pray together, may we? Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning in Your house. I pray, Lord, that You'd take me as Your vessel, that You'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of myself. Lord, I pray that I'd be filled with Your Spirit, that I might speak with thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray for anybody under the sound of our voice here today, that You'd work in our lives. May Your word do its work. You promised that the word of God would not return void. For those, Lord, who are discouraged, I pray that You'd give them encouragement. For those who are lost, I pray that You'd save them. And Lord, may we glean something from Your word today and be different from when we walked in here this morning. Well, thank You. Thank You for Jesus who died on the cross. And we love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The God of the second chance. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 of chapter number 1 where the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." I want to tell you first of all about the rebellious saint. How many of you can identify with a rebellious saint? Sometimes we trip up and we mess up and we get into things that we're not supposed to get in. We sin. We're still dealing with this flesh. But here we have this prophet of God, somebody that has a book of the Bible named after him. And even he was messing up. And even he was doing something that he shouldn't do. He is a rebellious saint. We find, first of all, under this, that God gave him a word to be delivered. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." So here we have God telling Jonah, get up from your current position. arise from your current position. Then he tells them, I want you to go to Nineveh, arrive at a certain place. And then he tells them, I want you to alert a condemned people. Verse number 2 of chapter number 1, the Bible says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Here's what I see in this chapter here, that God gave Jonah a clear command. It wasn't something that was nebulous. It wasn't something that was clear as mud, as we like to say. It wasn't something that left a lot of room for interpretation. But God said to Jonah, listen, I want you to get up. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to cry against that city. He's not telling him to go to Nineveh and go downtown and go to the shops or anything like that. But he's telling Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry against that city. You know what I see? That is a clear command that Jonah chooses to ignore and disobey. It wasn't like he messed up and he tripped up. This is a choice that he made to rebel against the clear command of God. Yet, God gives him another chance. God gives him a second chance to get it right. This was a clear command. He says to Jonah, go to this place, preach to these people, and I'm going to send you to that place. Jonah received a word to be delivered. Jonah ran the wrong direction. Look, please, at verse number 3 of chapter number 1. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This was a wrong decision. He ran the wrong direction, and then we find that he rested in his woeful decision. Watch this now. This is interesting to me. Verse number four. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Not only did he run the wrong direction, he made a wrong decision, but now we find that he's comfortable in his complacency. Here's somebody that's been disobedient to God. He's gone the wrong direction. He made a contrary choice to go away from the clear command of God. And now he finds himself, he is sleeping in the middle of his disobedience. He's gotten comfortable in his decision to disobey God. That's a dangerous place to be as a Christian, by the way. When we disobey God, and the more we do it, the more comfortable we get with our disobedience. It doesn't affect us anymore. It doesn't affect us the way it ought to anymore, because as we get comfortable, Jonah got comfortable. The Bible says that he was sleeping at the bottom of the ship. It's amazing to me. I mean, he was fast asleep. How many of you ever taken a nap so hard that you woke up and you thought, oh no, I've missed the school bus, but you're 30 years old and it's Sunday? I mean, he was gone, brother. Head all cocked sideways. He was asleep. He got comfortable in his disobedience. I feel like that is the way that many Christians are today in the world in which we live. God has given us clear commands to live for Him. God has given us commandments to serve Him, to live with Him, live for Him, to walk with Him. And He's given us these clear commands, but as we disobey, we get more and more comfortable in our disobedience. But aren't you glad today that God knows how to shake you from your disobedience? He knows how to get our attention. He knows what to do when we're not listening. He knows what to do to say, hey, look up here. I remember sometimes when I was a teenager pastor, you were taking prayer requests on a Wednesday night, and I was talking during prayer requests. Wasn't paying attention. And from the pulpit, I was sitting with my buddy Arthur on this side of the auditorium. I remember it. And we were talking, giggling about something. And the pastor looked at us and he said, hey, you guys need to stop talking and look up here. And I started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And he goes, no, sit up. I'm talking to you. He knew how to get my attention. I'll never forget that. God knows how to get our attention. This rebellious saint going the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing, asleep at the bottom of the ship. He was a rebellious saint. I wonder this morning how many people might be running away from what the Lord wants you to do. I wonder how many people this morning might be making a decision that's not the best decision, or not following a command that God has given to you. How many people are going the wrong direction and running away from what God wants them to do? Don't get comfortable there. We have a rebellious saint. Secondly, this morning, we have the repercussions of sin. As we continue in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse number 5 says this, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them." What's going on here? God is starting to work. God is working in Jonah's life. And it's amazing that when we sin, when we get away from God, here's how the Holy Spirit works. You ready for it? When we sin as a Christian, the Holy Spirit will see to it that we can't enjoy the sin like we want to. But as a Christian, not only can't we enjoy the sin, but you can't enjoy being a Christian either. So as we sin, we can't enjoy it as somebody who wants to do disobedience. But as a Christian, you can't enjoy your Christianity because of the sin. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works when we do what we're not supposed to. It's amazing how God works when we get away from Him, when we go the wrong direction. And God is working in the life of Jonah. We find, first of all, under this, that his plan was crazy. Verse number 3 of chapter 1, it says that he is trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. Listen, I want to remind you this morning, we probably know this already, but there's no place that you can go that's away from the presence of the Lord. There's no place that you can go where God's not there. And that's a good thing. It can also be a thing that warns us. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 139. "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." The Bible goes on and says this in Psalm 139. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." In Jonah's case, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Jonah can't go anywhere from the presence of God, and let me tell you, neither can you. There's no place on this earth that you can go where God is not. And that's a great truth. But when we're in sin, also know that God is there. His eyes go to and fro all the earth, beholding the evil and the good. God is there. Thou art there, Psalm 139. We find that his plan was crazy. We find his plummeting course. Look again at verse number 3, chapter number 1. The Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Watch this now. "Went down to Joppa." Keep going. "And found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof." Watch this. "He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let me say this. Any step we take away from the will of God is a downward step. It's going the wrong direction. We find also that he had to pay the cost. Verse number 3 also says that he paid the fare thereof. When we make choices and we make decisions and we do things that displease God and we go the wrong direction, the Bible talks about here how Jonah had to pay the fare thereof. He had to pay to be disobedient. What I find in my Bible, when you obey God, when you do what God wants you to do, God's going to take care of it. He finances his business, amen. But when you want to do your own thing, you're going to have to pay for that. Somebody said this, that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you want to pay. He had to pay the fare thereof. Our decisions to displease God and go away from God. Listen, sometimes we have to pay for those in our consequences. He paid the fare, but notice this. This is amazing to me that he produced casualties. Look, please, in verse number 5 of chapter number 1. The Bible says, "The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to the sea to lighten it of them." Not only was Jonah's sin affecting him, but Jonah's sin was affecting everybody else on the ship. We find that pattern sporadically placed throughout the Bible. We find that Achan in the book of Joshua, he stole of the accursed thing. He hid it under his tent. And because of that, when the Israelites went out to go fight against Ai, we find that 36 soldiers didn't come back from that battle, all because of the decision of Achan to do something that he wasn't supposed to do. We fast forward here to Jonah, and he is being disobedient to God. And now he's causing everybody else around him because of his own sin to have problems. Oh, what a selfish thing that Jonah is doing here, because he's doing it for himself. He doesn't necessarily care about everybody else around him and what his sin might be doing. And that's a dangerous place to be in Christianity. And I feel like sometimes in our Christian lives, we get there where we're doing our own thing and it doesn't matter about the people around us. We've fallen asleep as Jonah did in chapter number 1 and verse number 6. I'm reminded of the account. In World War II times in the 1940s, there was a church in Austria that was situated by a railroad track. They'd have their church services on Sunday, and they would sing their songs, they would preach their sermons, but as most of you know, the trains would go by, and in the World War II era, they would pack those trains with people going to concentration camps. And that church there in Austria would have their service, and they would hear the train go by, and eventually they found out what those trains were doing, what they were doing with the people, taking them to concentration camps and so forth. And they could, of one account, they said they could hear the people that were on the train. They could hear the cries of the people that were on the train go to those camps. And so when the train would go by, they would stop the service and sing another song. And the song leader would say, "Sing a little bit louder so we can drown out the sound of the train that's going by. Just sing a little bit louder." And so that church there in Austria, they'd have their service, and as soon as they heard that train go by, they'd stop and sing a little bit louder so they can drown out the noise of everything else that's going on around them. And that's a place where a lot of Christians are. That was where Jonah was. Look, there's people around him that were scared. There was people around him that didn't know what to do. There was people around him that needed answers, but he just fell fast asleep. Other people were being affected by his disobedience. And let me tell you, when we disobey, it doesn't only affect us, it affects those around us. Jonah, what are you doing? There's people around you. They need the hope that is in you. They need the answer that you have. Why are you being disobedient? God knew how to get his attention. We find that he was a rebellious saint. Secondly, we find that there's repercussions to his sin. Now he's going to get tossed overboard. Look at verse number 17 of chapter number 1. The Bible says the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I love this. God prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah. The whale, the great fish, was an act of mercy from God. He prepared a great fish. Aren't you glad today that God has power over all creation? Aren't you glad that God says it and it's so? God has power over creation. Can you just imagine the conversation? Breaker 1-9. Come in, whale. Come in, great fish. Oh, I don't even know if that's a whale sound. That's pretty bad, man. It's going to be on a gag reel later, isn't it, Jeff? Right? Breaker 1-9, come in. Go ahead, Lord, I'm listening. Baptist preacher in the water, I need you to go pick him up. I will. He goes and picks up the whale, or picks up Jonah. He's in the belly of the whale for 3 days. We find in chapter 2 what Jonah is going through here. We've got rebellious saints. We've got repercussions of sin. Thirdly, this morning, repentance of sincerity. Repentance of sincerity. Look at chapter number 2. We find that Jonah got personal. Jonah got personal. You know what? When we disobey God, we take steps out of God's will. You know how many steps it takes to get back to serving God and back in God's will? It just takes one step in the right direction. You might be sitting here today and, oh, I've messed up and I've tripped up and I've done things that I'm not supposed to do. You think that you're too far gone. Listen, you can turn around and still live for God. You can turn around because God is the God of mercy. He's the God of the second chances. Sure, as you may have taken a step out of His plan for you, you may have taken a step out of His will for your life, you can turn around and get right back in. God is the God of the second chance. And Jonah got it right when he started repenting. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. He got personal. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Watch all the personal pronouns here in chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, and it said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse number 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and the billows and the waves passed over me. Verse number 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed around me about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Verse number 7, the Bible says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. Verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You know what Jonah's doing right here? He's taking responsibility for the decisions that he's made. And I want you to know this morning that sin is nobody else's fault but our own. We make the choices to be disobedient. It's not, well, my upbringing, and you don't know where I lived when I was growing up. Sin is our fault. And Jonah was taking personal responsibility for the things that he did. That's why we have all the personal pronouns. He's getting it right. He's repenting. We find that he was personal, but we find that also he was passionate. Chapter number 2, the Bible says, when my soul fainted, in verse number 7, I remembered my prayer. He's getting passionate when he's pleading with God. Here's what I get to. We sin so passionately, but we repent so casually. We sin so passionately, but we repent so casually. We put a lot into thinking about the things that we're going to do, and perhaps they displease the Lord. And when we get away from the Lord, we do it all with passion. But when it's time to get right with, you know, time to apologize to somebody for what we may have said to them. Look, we told them off, and we were passionate about when we told them off. But when it's time to apologize, yeah, man, I'm sorry about that. We sin so passionately, but repent so casually. And let me remind you this morning that repentance is not just, oh, I cry over what I did and I feel terrible that I did it. Repentance is a change of mind and a change of action. He's getting it right. He's praying. He's asking God to work on his behalf. He's getting it right with the Lord. And I remind you again, you may be disobedient, but you can get right back in fellowship with God. You can take a step right back into God's will, and you can repent and get it right. And God is a God of second chances and thirds and fourths. I can't even count. God of the second chance. We find Jonah was a rebellious saint. We find the repercussions of his sin. We find his repentance and sincerity. But lastly this morning, we find that he resolved to serve. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What's going on here? Number one, Jonah heard the word of the Lord again. You ever realize when maybe you backslide a little bit? You go to read the Bible, perhaps, and you're not getting a whole lot out of it. Sometimes when you backslide, that happens. You read the Bible and, okay, I did my thing. Perhaps sometimes when you go to church and you want to sing great songs, we sang It Is Well. Y'all sang the roof off the place. I love it. But when you're away from God, it just doesn't, it's not the same. You can't sing with all your heart. But when you get things right with God, you hear again. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. When you get back right with the Lord, you start to sing, and those songs are heartfelt. When you read that Bible, you get a little bit more out of it. Jonah was getting himself right with the Lord, and the Lord sent his word unto him a second time. I like it. Jonah heard, but Jonah heeded. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 3, arise, go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. I like this. So Jonah arose. We talk about how repentance is not just a feeling that you get, oh, I'm so sorry I did that and I shouldn't have done that. And it's not just tears that you may cry, but it is a change of action. You were doing one thing, going one direction, but now you're going another direction, doing another thing. That is what repentance is. It's a change of action. He heeded the word of God. Listen, he was getting things right. He wasn't being disobedient anymore. He was going the right direction. Hey, also we find that Jonah hasted. Look again at verse number 4 of chapter 3. The Bible says, chapter 3 and verse number 3, the end of the verse says, 3 days' journey, Verse number 4 says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" Jonah figured out that he wasted so much time being disobedient to God that he had to hurry up a little bit. He had 3 days to get to Nineveh, but the Bible says he entered into the city one day. That man was booking it. He laced up his Adidas and started running. He got there real quick. Maybe he got an Uber or something. I don't know about all that. But he figured he wasted so much time being disobedient, I better go a little bit faster when I'm serving the Lord. We're going through the book of Judges and Ruth, and let me pitch this out. If you're not here on Wednesday nights, I'd love for you to be here. This is good preaching. Pastor told me to say that, so this is a good series and all that. So you can cut that check out to Maddie Besol. Well, you'll find through the book of Judges, here's what happens. There arose a generation which knew not the Lord or his works and so forth. But you'll find in the book of Judges that the Israelites, they would follow God for a little while. As a matter of fact, after Joshua, they followed the Lord all the days of Joshua. But then in the book of Judges, they would follow the Lord for a little while. And then they would go after Baal. And then they would go into captivity. And I find in the Christian life that Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel, but you can draw parallels, applications that we can draw from those things. As Israel was disobedient to God, they would go to captivity. You find that they were in captivity 4 years, 8 years, 20 years, 40 years. How much time, how many years went by as they were steeped in their own disobedience? In our Christian life, you realize we waste time when we're disobedient with God. We're not going to be here forever. Listen, our bodies, they're decaying. They're getting old, you know. I'm only 33 years old, but yet when I get out of bed in the morning, it sounds like a bowl of Rice Krispies. I mean, snap, crackle, pop, and my wife's over there laughing at me. "You shouldn't play basketball on Tuesday nights. I told you this was going to happen." Meanwhile, I'm trying to, you know, I'm using my nightstand as a walker. Oh, I'm hurting so bad. Listen, our bodies are getting old. We're not going to be on the scene all that long in the looking at eternity. Why should we waste time being disobedient to God? Realize when we are disobedient, we're wasting the time that God has put us here on this earth for. So Jonah, he hasted. He said, "I don't have time to mess around anymore. I was disobedient, but now I'm on the right track, and I need to hurry up a little bit." And he hasted into that city, into Nineveh. And the Bible says he heralded the word of God, a sermon of 8 words. Some of you are like, "Brother Kevin, could you preach an 8-word sermon, please? You talk too fast. You move around too much." No. But Jonah got in there, and he preached a sermon of 8 words. Verse number 4, "Yet 30 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." We find that God healed. The Bible says in verse number 5 of chapter 3, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from off him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes." We find that the Lord was working in a great way. Jonah was given a second chance to give Nineveh a second chance. Who is waiting on you? Or who's waiting on me when we're disobedient? Who is waiting on us to get right with God so we can make a difference in their life? I talk a lot about Andy and Rick Blaylock and Pastor and the Hatchers and how the difference they made in my life. You know, I'm so glad they were living for the Lord. They were serving the Lord. Because they made a difference in my life. Poor Andy can't get away from me. I used to knock on the door. "Oh, it's Kevin. No, we can't come out and play. Please go away." Then we move across to the street from the Hatchers, and the Hatchers bring me to church. "Oh, guess what? Oh, it's you again." Andy thought he got away from me, but he didn't. He goes off to college thinking he got away from me. His senior year, "Oh, I'm going to go to Crown too." And I showed up at his dorm. Oh, no. And then I get married and move off. And then Pastor comes, and Andy finally thinks he's rid of me. And then Pastor comes. "Oh, by the way, Kevin's moving back." He just can't get rid of me. I joke around a lot. But these families, a lot of families in this church, I'm so glad that you decided to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. You all made a difference in my family's life because of your obedience. But what happens when we're disobedient Who are we missing out on being a blessing to? Who do we miss out on that somebody maybe we could be reaching, being a blessing to, being an encouragement to, because we want to do our own thing? Jonah got it right. He went back the right direction and he started doing what he was supposed to do as a prophet of God. He started being obedient again, and people's lives were changed. People's lives were encouraged because of his obedience. You realize when you're obedient to the Lord, you encourage other people. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 that you provoke one another unto good works. That's another reason I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, a rabbit trail. You miss a lot of the country when you don't go on a rabbit trail once in a while. But the reason we come to church sometimes is not just to worship, but to provoke one another unto good works. Your presence here at church encourages other people. Your obedience encourages other people. And when we're disobedient, it does exactly the opposite. Maybe you're sitting under the sound of my voice here today and you've gone the wrong direction. Made a bad choice. You ran from God. I want you to be encouraged today. Not that you've gone the wrong direction, but be encouraged that we serve a God who's the God of the second chance. Aren't you glad that he gave Peter a second chance? Aren't you glad that he gives you and I a second chance? I'm just pleading with you today. If you've made a wrong decision, you've stepped out of the will of God, or you've done the wrong thing, you've not pleased God, get back serving the Lord again. He'll take you back. I'm so glad he does. I've messed up so many times. But the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. We serve a great God. And you can be in fellowship with him today. He is the God of the second chance. Let's pray together, may we. Lord, thank you for the Bible today. The Word of God. Lord, it's not something that we've made up. It's not something that we talk about, that we've come up with ourselves. This is your word, and you're merciful. Heavenly Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning, perhaps that is backslidden away from you. You're the God of second chance. I pray that they get right with you. If there's anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd work in their life, convict them of their sin and the need of a Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.